Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. I am your host, Ryan Whitledge, and joining me from across the world with either a door that has taken the place of a hole he punched in his wall or from a completely different dwelling is Mr. Brandon Goldner. Goldner, how you doing?
Hello. I'm definitely not tired. Yes, we are on a little mini vacation. We're staying in a town that's a couple hours from our place. And it's great. It's like an alpine version of a smaller version of Bend. It's really beautiful. Went on a dope hike yesterday. It is kind of rainy today. That's okay. Did like 3,500 feet of elevation gain over 4 miles. It's like straight up, straight down. So we're a little sore, a little tired. My energy will be at a certain level, which you'll probably appreciate because I'm usually way over the top. But Ryan, how are you doing, my friend? As I put on my NPR voice, how are you?
Well, thank you for joining us. This wonderful talk. And no,
I like the Blazers.
I have no clue, but like my energy took an absolute like dive about like an hour before I left work. And so then right as I got home, I showered real quick, changed, and then made myself coffee. And my wife is giving me like a side eye, like, you never get home and drink coffee? Like, why are you not going to the fridge and grabbing a beer? I was like, because that'll just make me fall asleep in the middle of recording a podcast. So
I'm excited for the NPR episode of We Like the Blazers as we talk about fake trades. No, it's fair. Hey, you know what? You can't be on 100% all the time, especially the work that you do. It requires a lot of physical and mental energy, especially because you're leading people and working on important shit. So yeah, I get it. I mean, this should be, Ryan, this should be your space to be able to decompress and relax and think about things that make you happy, like the Blazers. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So let's start with
wait, can I trade staff? Hold on, I'm messing around with Fanspo because I was seeing if I'd like that better than the ESPN trade machine.
But oh my we've had days to prepare for that. Okay, as you do that,
but I got confused because under the players or picks that you can select, then it had an option for staff, and I'm like, wait, can I trade staff?
Trade one Joe Cronin for one Eric Spoelstra. And really quick, we haven't recorded since the draft lottery. Let me just ask you this. How did you feel? What was going through your mind when the Blazers lottery ping pong ball or giant cardboard square was not shown at 5? What was going through your head at that point?
Well, for me, I watched it with an absolutely full crowd at Brick's Tavern. So as I mentioned before, 1080 The Fan was doing all day broadcast down there. And then so I got there to catch the tail end of the noon show with Danny and Dusty. And then Danny, also host of Jack Ramsey's, brought his entire computer setup, which was funny, down there because they were going to do the live podcast. And I could not react to the actual cardboard squares that were being shown on the screen because somehow in a bar filled with TVs that are watching live television, Danny and Brandon's feed was 15 seconds ahead of everybody else.
So
all of us in the bar, like, it's understandable they're recording like their live thing for their thing. But as those picks are coming, you know, you're seeing chalk. Like, I was sitting right across from me. I was sharing a table with Seth, so Sheriff of Portland, as most people know him. And we decided, all right, phones down, no Twitter, no texts. We're just going to watch it as it happens. We don't want anything to be ruined.
Because you want a shared experience, right? That's why you all went to Brick's Tavern. It wasn't for you to sit on your computer. It was because you wanted to experience it with everyone else in the room. Am I wrong about that?
Correct. And so New Orleans, when that first pick comes up at 14 or whatnot, you hear Danny yell, he's like, all right, chalk. And like, it took us until about the 11th pick for us to realize that he wasn't just yelling that out of emotion for like hopeful thinking, but that he knew. And then he stands up and he's like, I'm sorry, everybody. My feed's 15 seconds ahead. And unanimously, everybody in the bar said, shut it off.
I agree. No shade, but everyone is there to experience it together. That's the point. And if your feed on your computer is ahead, you know what you do? You stop looking at the feed and you watch what everyone else is watching so that you can have the shared experience. I really didn't like that at all. And again, easy for me to say from my couch, but like, anyway, yeah, whatever.
Well, and I know the platform that he's using. I've used that before. I've done live watch parties and stuff on that before. You can hit pause. It's you're able to sync it.
Right.
But, you know, to each his own. So it was, you know, it was a delayed 15 seconds. I heard him cheer, and it's not like I couldn't ignore him because where my table was sitting, like I could have turned, I threatened to turn around and hit him with a chair because I was that close. But I mean, it was just watching it go chalk. You know, they get through that 9-8-7-6 range and you're like, oh my God, because, you know, statistically you're like, all right, now it's
really,
it's
once
top
they
four.
Got past six, right? Because there was a 2% chance of five. So really, once they got past six, you're kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. And so then, you know, that commercial break happens, and it's, you know, just when they came back from commercial break, I think I made it on every news station that was down there and almost everybody's individual Twitter videos. You can see me up and pacing in the background, hands on my head, just, you know, I'm quote tweeting out videos after the fact. I'm like, look, me, it's me being emotional about ping pong balls. But yeah, I think only one news station, I think it was Kripke, caught up with me with after the picks happened, where I said, they don't need him, they have Zach Collins. Scream that at the top of my lungs at the bar. So, but no, it was definitely an emotional experience. So, and to just kind of, especially have that excitement build, like I kind of wish that when they came back, they didn't rush through 4-3-2-1 as quick as they did.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Let it build a little, but they were on a timeline for a playoff game, but I don't know, maybe schedule yourself a little bigger window on that.
Bingo. That's the thing. You're not on a schedule. You build the schedule. Like there's no, oh, we have a game to get to. Especially for that last part, the last couple of picks, I do agree. It went fast. I feel like I felt many of the same things that you did. I wasn't with other people. I was by myself, but I was having like very, what's the word I want to use? I am so tired, my friend. Very acute physical anxiety watching the picks go by, and particularly once they got past five. So I had like a piece of paper where I had written down where the teams were slotted to pick. And then as the picks were coming in, I would write the actual pick next to the team name. And my handwriting was very bad because my hand was like shaking. There was that brief moment of just like, you think it might happen. But I felt a lot of the same things you did. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. And so then to see it come up three, like, well, it's the disappointment lasted all of, oh, I don't know, 10 seconds, because again, you still ended up with a top three pick in a draft in which, as we've said, and so many others have said, that any, like without Wimby, either one of those guys are, you know, they'd go number one in their own draft. So to have, you know, to have an option to get one of them or use one of them, I should say, you know, that's a big thing. It's definitely a lot easier to do that than it is to move the, you know, seventh pick, as we've chatted about on our last recording.
Yeah, getting a top three pick in a three player draft is huge. And I agree with you too. Like I felt disappointment, but I also did that thing where you kind of, your face goes, oh, and then the polite clapping, right? Like they still got three. It was cool, man. I feel like, I feel really good. I mean, we're going to get into, this is the fake trade episode, right? We've been hearing about this.
I hate since the fake draft trade month. Season. I hate it. Well, I hate it with a passion. It's only been here for 2 weeks and I effing hate it. And then there's another month.
Maybe this is good then that I have a hard out because we'll be time limited. We can't go on forever on this, but yeah, I mean, it's like, there are a lot of options open for the Blazers. It's a very interesting time. We've heard a lot of fake trades. I had one more thought. I honestly, this is like, whew, this is great radio. I forgot what I was going to say altogether.
Hard out. Okay. Anyway,
totally but, left my brain. Anything else on the draft lottery specifically that you wanted to touch on?
No, just fuck you, San Antonio. Like at this point,
I was okay with that. Who else would you have rather, if not?
I mean, I agree, but do they have to get every generational big?
You want Michael Jordan to get the number one pick? Is that what you wanted? You wanted
Michael Jordan,
Detroit? You wanted Victor to go to Detroit? That what you wanted? I don't think so. Come
on. Maybe the city wouldn't burn, but no, I'm just, it's
ooh, ouch.
Well, for one, you know, now Pop's going to coach till he dies. And for two, does every generational big man have to go to the city of San Antonio?
People forget Tim Duncan was drafted in 1997. This was a long time ago. Let's cool it. Like this wasn't,
I was
like
alive. I'm allowed to be bitter.
I'm just saying, if it's not Portland, I wanted it to be San Antonio. I think they have a stable, mature organization. They've had some problems and there've been some hiccups and some not great stories that have come out in the last couple of years, but on balance, they have been one of the better stewards of an NBA franchise, one of the best you could ask for. So I'm okay with it. Like if not Portland, I'm okay with it. Honestly, I didn't want it to be Houston. Didn't want it to be Detroit. Definitely didn't want it to be Orlando or Indiana. One of the teams that the Blazers passed while tanking. That was going to be my thought. All of the tanking was worth it. It was worth it. You know, whether you had your gripes about how the season ended, whether we have our gripes about Chauncey Billups as a coach, I know I've been a staunch Chauncey Billups supporter, you know, supporting him all the way through, not ever criticizing Chauncey Billups whatsoever. How are you not reacting to this? But the tank was worth it. This is why you tank. It worked out. And frankly, it worked out last year too. The Blazers getting who may be the singular best player in the draft, even though, you know, it's going to take quite a bit of development from Shaedon Sharpe to get there, but it's definitely possible. So tank was worth it. That's what I wanted to say.
Now that we know this, now we enter into the season of speculation where everybody will demand that you give them your best stuff and they will give you their remaining pairs of unmatched socks, and that, you know, we do vice versa. So I'm sure you've done a bit of, scrolling through and seeing, you know, for one, what the fan base has come up with, but, you know, for two, then the rumors that are out there about various things. What, you got any hot takes on, or something that's just made you go, what the absolute fuck is this?
I think we're going to get into it as we go through these specific fake trades, but I will say the thought I had this morning thinking about it, when is the last time that you remember Portland being mentioned in this volume of fake trades?
What version? The version where we get other players or the version where everyone steals Dame? Because it's been a couple of years on one of those.
Ignore the Damian Lillard stuff. When is the last time you remember Portland being involved in this many fake trades and rumors and reporting and leaks? I can't remember.
It's got to go back to Aldridge and will he or won't he? Are they going to let him walk? Do they sign and trade or whatever with him? That's the last time I can remember Portland's name being talked about in that much trade kind of chatter is the season before Aldridge left.
That's fair. I also think some of this is a little bit biased by the fact that we are more, you know, terminally online than ever. So we're seeing more content than ever. But I think it's fair to say that for me, this is the most that I've ever seen Portland mentioned in fake trades since I've followed the team. And that was what I thought this morning, is that that is really good news. That's good news for Joe Cronin. It's good news for the Blazers. That means that they have options. Some of these fake trades are just coming from people like me who go on the trade machine and make fake trades. I don't have any sources. I don't pretend to have sources. I'm not going to go into the did he, didn't he, of whether Dame wanted Shaedon Sharpe during last year's draft. And I'm just,
stupid argument.
We're not going to do it though. Here, we're not going to do it here. But the point is, there are also agents, plugged in reporters, GMs who have been sharing information and leaking information that involve Portland. And I think the fact that they have been mentioned so many times in such a short period of time is good news for the Blazers. I believe that it means they have options. And with that being said, Ryan, if you will allow me, I would like to talk about some fake trades that you abhor so much, that you dislike to the very root of your core as a fan. You don't want to talk about fake trades. You want to talk about the team. You want to talk about development. You want to talk about Damian Lillard and championships and rainbows and sunshine. Well, listen up, sweetheart. It is fake trade season, and we are here with those fake trades. Now, you have seen them all over the internet. The latest one is that the Nets are not giving up Mikal Bridges for anything, not even $50 worth of gold in your mother. But what we did is I don't even know what that means.
Well, can I explain that one real quick before you get into it? So I did a podcast hit with Nick Fay of the Brooklyn Buzz.
Are you big timing me right now, Ryan?
I am, because I used to do some writing for that, but he's under the Blue Wire Pod umbrella. And, you know, he wanted me on for twofold. He's like, hey, you know, Portland wants Mikal. Well, we want Dame. So, and it was funny because it was, let's equally discuss both these options. And when we were outlining it and setting it up and messaging back and forth, he goes, okay, well, what do you think about then for the Nets getting Dame? I said, simple. The answer is no. I don't know. Like, did you have a 5 second spot outlined in your pod for that? Or do you, and so that was a weird one to fake my way through, but it did open my eyes to kind of like how the Nets fan base is viewing talks of some of these trades. And then also I've been trying to branch out and listen to a lot more beat reporters things. I've done a lot more listening to random other teams locked on things, because you do get people that are plugged in, you know, regardless of what you think of beat reporters and lying for access, blah, blah, blah. You know, they are a little more in tune with what an organization is thinking. And the thought, at least with the Nets and Mikal, tends to be that Mikal was the big piece that came back in the Kevin Durant trade. So you kind of, they're looking at it in how we've somewhat looked at like the CJ trade of like, hey, if Jeremy Grant walks, we basically tanked and traded CJ for nothing. Well, if whatever trade you're trying to make for Mikal, they're kind of viewing it in the lens of, is that worth Kevin Durant? Now, is that an asinine way to think about it? Can you, you know, try to, you know, think about the value in that way? No. But if the organization is thinking more towards that way, you can't help them, you know, but operate under that. That's how they're operating. But so just a little bit
really
on that.
Quick, I understand that. It's, you know, well, we gave up KD for this. They also got Cam Johnson. They also got 4 first round picks, and they also got a swap. So let's not pretend like Mikal Bridges was the only thing they got from the KD trade, because it wasn't. But I get it. And I do agree with you. I think it's helpful and almost necessary to hear what other people who are plugged in with other teams think about these trades. And to your point, you know, Mike Richmond of the Locked On Blazers podcast has been doing these, you know, collaborative, that he did one with a Brooklyn person. He did one with a Phoenix person. Yep. No, a magic person. Anyway. So, so with that being said, we're going to go through some fake trades, Ryan. We have 37 minutes. I think we have more than enough time. I've put together 6 different packages. Okay. But I want to start with an assumption. All of these assume that Damian Lillard stays with the Blazers. So all of these trades are around building around Dame. So that's where we're starting. The second assumption is, and this one I'm a little more flexible on, but the second assumption is that the third pick is Scoot Henderson, because the Hornets don't want to pair him with LaMelo Ball. So that the second pick.
Side bets on if they fuck that up for everybody.
Well, maybe they will. And maybe other teams like Brandon Miller, you don't know, but like, so that's the second assumption. I don't know if that one matters quite as much. And then the last one that definitely does matter, this assumes that Portland and Chicago come to an agreement to unencumber the pick owed to Chicago, that the Blazers are able to, let's say, trade this year's Knicks pick in order to then open up their future picks to being traded. Without getting into details, the rule is that your team needs to have a first round pick every other year. So if you have protection on a pick that is lottery dependent, then you're not allowed to, / it is incredibly complex, the protections, in order to guarantee that you would not be left without a first round pick in 2 consecutive years. So the point is it's, you got to get that pick unlocked to trade your future picks. So
yeah.
Here. And one last thing too. Oh, go for it. Yeah.
I don't think they need to unlock it, but well, that's for down the road.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just leave that aside. the last thing I want to say is this, as we're going to start these trades, you know, there is definitely a balance between what some Blazers fans want to see happen, and then, for example, what some fans of the other team want to see happen. And I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. My view, if you can construct a trade that makes both fan bases unhappy,
it's a good
probably
trade.
Constructed a fair value trade, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ryan, are you ready to get into these fake trades?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with trade sequence number one. I've named them all. I've done my homework. I have put these through the ESPN trade machine. The trade machine says that they work. This trade sequence is called depth at the top. So here we go. Get ready. Buckle up. In this trade, there's two separate trades happening. In the first trade, Portland is trading with Phoenix to get DeAndre Ayton in exchange for Anthony Simons, Nas Little, and a future first-round pick. In the second trade, Portland is getting Lauri Markkanen for the number three pick, a future first, and Yusuf Nurkic. This doesn't affect the cap that much. It increases the Blazers' wins by 16 wins, according to ESPN. And the reason for doing it is that Phoenix gets off a malcontent in DeAndre Ayton. Utah gets Scoot Henderson and a first-round pick, and Portland gets better. So your lineup is going to be Dame, Shaedon Sharpe, Lauri Markkanen, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, and then a mid-level exception player, Matisse Thybulle, Cam Reddish, Trenton Watford, Jabari Walker. So, Ryan, this first series of trades, what do you think about it?
Absolutely not.
Why?
There is, and John Hollinger had a really good bit on this in The Athletic today. There is zero reason. The only thing I disagree with for this trade is your future firsts.
Why?
I think all future firsts need to stop getting thrown out in any of these trades dealing with the Blazers. That's why I don't think they need to unencumber that. If you're throwing in number three, Simons, Little, and Nurkic, that's your package. Toss in a couple second rounders if you want. But right now, we're as Hollinger kind of alluded to, where'd it go? He was talking about how at the draft combine, a lot of the execs that he talked to were wondering if they've seen the last of teams putting quote unquote multiple unprotected picks in circulation in the way they have for the last few years, specifically for going for all in moves like the one that Portland is trying to make. Because if you swing and you miss with your all in move, you're fucked. And now you're starting to see a lot of these teams. So, you know, Phoenix gave away a lot of their draft capital. They weren't able to climb the mountaintop when they got KD. You've seen this with the Nets. They're considered cap poor, even though they have Phoenix, because Phoenix's picks. So now these teams that made these all-in moves and they gave away these so many future first round picks, it didn't work. They weren't, you know, they didn't just went or waltz their way into a championship like they thought they would when they had these teams and got these superstars and made these pairings. And now their destiny isn't in their hands when they need to look at being a rebuild. I think the Nets are the best example of that now. They can't tank because their tanking means nothing. Their tanking helps Philly, who they paid when they, you know, when they got players up there. You know, the Suns, they can't tank because they're tanking. That helps the Nets. These teams don't owe their picks and they don't control their destiny. And leveraging so many future firsts now, more than like maybe the next years, is now become a detriment. Because if you don't hit on it and you aren't 100% sure that, you know, you can 73-win Warriors Steve Kerr roll the basketball out there kind of style, that it's not worth it because it handicaps you too much. So I do like your trade, if you were to do this same thing and get rid of those two firsts, 100% in a heartbeat. It fits damn near every single need that Portland would want. If Utah getting that number three pick, you know, makes Danny Ainge's pants tight because he has another pick.
Shut up.
You didn't know, say it, that. I did say not. That. I dug that out of the tickle trunk.
Yo, okay. Let me make the argument for including the firsts. The first reason, no pun intended, again, remember, all of these trades assume they want to keep Damian Lillard. In my view, you need to figure out how to build the strongest team around Damian Lillard, and you are sacrificing the future somewhat in order to do that. But here's the more important point, in my opinion. The Blazers are in a good negotiating position from an asset perspective. the Blazers find themselves in a pretty weak negotiating position from a intangibles aspect, where you have Damian Lillard, who said, I want to be on a winner right now. That's not good leverage. Same thing with Phoenix. They're not in a very strong position with Ayton because everyone and their mom knows that he doesn't want to be there. By contrast, Utah is in a much stronger negotiating position. They could just keep Lowry Markkanen, and they turned him into an all-star. He's one of the 30 best players in the NBA now. He's 25 years old. His contract is minuscule, which is why you're able to get away with the second trade and only be including Nurkic in that. It's a great contract. So here's also this too. The Blazers are not the only team who are going to want a player like DeAndre Ayton. Ayton is also only 25 years old. Ostensibly, I mean, you could talk yourself into he clashed with Monty Williams. No one likes playing with Chris Paul. This was a very productive player in the finals. He's still young. And you could also say, well, under Damian Lillard, look at what Lillard did for Nurkic, turning him from a non-playing malcontent into an above average center. What could he do for someone like DeAndre Ayton? So I think part of my thought with the firsts is, let's just look at the Phoenix part of this really quick. You're Phoenix, okay? You're getting offers from teams for DeAndre Ayton. Why would you just trade for Anfernee Simons? How does that help Phoenix, really?
Well, I think the other thing for Phoenix, too, is Simons, his deal is too long for them. Where Phoenix currently sits is right now at in the out years of, you know, Durant, Booker, and Ayton. The final year that those three will be on the team together in 25-26, just those three alone is $144 million.
Woof.
So Phoenix needs to get out from money, and they need to get out from money fast, which right. In this case, I would take this trade and I would kind of swap it to give Nurkic to Phoenix, because obviously then they kind of need a center because he's lesser money that dies sooner off the books. And then Simons to Utah to sweeten the pick for you, or sweeten that pot for Utah. That's kind of where
the cap that's doesn't kind of work if you do it that way, though. Like the
well, I don't care what the trade machine. I don't care what the trade machine says. You can throw in whatever second round picks you need to make it work. But those are the kind of things too, where I'm trying to look at the other teams and say what are they trying to figure out. So saying, hey, not this season, but the following. Yeah, what the following season?
All teams doing this.
Like Phoenix cannot build any sort of roster when three of their players are making $144 million.
I
absolutely
think
not. So they need to find a way. They are motivated to dump that Ayton money.
The way I look at this
crappy short-term money.
Yeah. The way I look at this for Phoenix, why Phoenix does it is that Ayton is a distressed asset at this point, both because he's pissed and because his production has been sagging. Anfernee Simons is a positive value contract, a young player on a much below max contract who's signed for a long time, and you're getting a first round pick. That's why Phoenix does it. You do need Simons in there to make the salaries work. You cannot plug in Nurkic into that Ayton trade and make it work. You need to have more salary, and that's where the Blazers are limited. They don't have a lot of extra salary to include in any of these trades. The biggest salary pieces they have are Simons, Nurkic, Nas Little, and then if you're considering Shaden Sharpe to be untouchable, which I am, by the way, that's an assumption in this too, is that we're not trading Shaden Sharpe. But from Utah's perspective, you know, I'm not sure if I do this if I'm Utah. Lowry Markkanen has proven that he's, again, one of the 30 best players in the NBA. I know that some people hear that and go, what? It's true. Look at what he did last year. It's true. And he's still young. He's on a great contract. So while this trade, and it's funny because Ryan, when I put this out there, Blazers fans didn't like this. They were like, who let this guy cook? And they were like, oh, this is some bullshit. Look, man. And then Phoenix fans were like, no way do we do that for Ayton. We're going to get way more than that for him. I think it's actually pretty fair value. I would say this is actually, and unfortunately, this is an optimistic trade for Portland. I think I'm not sure they're going to get this much talent from Simons and number three. And I do think those future firsts are important in a lot of these deals.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. I'm trying to work around with some money here and yeah. Keon Johnson gets it, but
I will say this, the salary part of it was why I have not done this much quote unquote research for one of our podcasts, I think ever. I really tried hard to create trades in positions of need where the salaries worked out, where you could make an argument for all of the trade parties involved. And that's not easy. It's not. It's hard. And that's like, even with Portland being involved in all these trade rumors, there are not unlimited trades they can make. It's tough. So let's put that one on the back burner. It's there. Again, it would be...
I think that's one of your better ones. I just, like I said, I personally have an issue with the future firsts. Because again, especially looking at the timeline of Dame, like a lot of people are trying to work from the assumption of, oh, well, if it doesn't work, then we'll request trade for Dame and then we'll get all these firsts back. Well, right now the market would seem to be leaning in that they're not, teams aren't going to be trading a shit ton of future firsts. So don't send them out hoping or thinking that you'll get them back later, because it's not necessarily the case.
That's fair. I consider this to be like, you're giving Damian Lillard one shot with the best possible team and you're sacrificing the future. That's the sacrifice in these trades that I'm making. There's no perfect way to do this, right? So let's move on to the second trade. So but the other thought, Ryan, with all of these, it's a question of how you use the two most important assets the Blazers have, which are the number three pick and Anfernee Simons. Mm-hmm. And how much are you willing to sacrifice depth for absolute top end talent? This trade represents the second in spades. It's the AD trade. It's one trade. It's with the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, Portland Ever. Getting Anthony Davis, and the Lakers getting number three, Anthony Simons, Yusuf Nurkic, and two future firsts. This is almost entirely cap neutral. The reason why Portland does it is obvious. You pair a generational big with Dame. And the reason why the Lakers
play well in big minutes. It will never play well in big minutes and is made of glass.
Let's talk about that in just a second. And the Lakers begin their long and slow rebuild with a lot of draft capital and a young sub all-star. ESPN says that the Blazers add 12 wins with this move, and your lineup would be Dame, Shaedon Sharpe, Nas Little, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Davis, and then that mid-level exception player, and then the people on the roster. Ryan, what do you think of this construction?
Well, for one, your lineup is not starting Little. Your lineup is starting Thibault with that. You hate Thibault. You keep putting him on the bench here. But
I do. At some point, scoring matters in the NBA. It's not 2007. So just say it.
Okay. But two things. I refuse to let the Blazers be one of these idiotic teams who constantly help the Lakers out of their own failed, you know, misery that they build themselves. That team was heading into the side of the mountain before this trade deadline. And, you know, the league was like, you know what? Well, oh, these little Lakers, we'll help them out. And then look how far they ended up making in the playoffs. Yeah, sure.
That was a great trade for them. I said it at the time. Props to Ron Palinka. That was great.
I know, but you know, at some point in time, everybody has to stop answering their phone calls and let them wallow, because when the Lakers are good, then it also limits every other team's ability, because then now all these players who are ring chasing just want to go to LA.
Anthony Davis would be far and away the best player Dame has ever played with. And it's not close. It's
correct. Not close. For all 22 games that he plays.
I
don't trust his health and I don't trust his attitude.
Anthony Davis stayed healthy for the entirety of the playoffs and he played all the way through the Western Conference Finals. He was their most important player in the playoffs.
And he disappeared for major stretches at a time.
That had nothing to do with his health.
If you can't get motivated playing with LeBron James, you're not going to get motivated playing with anybody else.
Playing with someone like Damian Lillard hits different. And some of this for me is a little fantastical, wishful thinking.
Best case scenario trades. Anthony Davis.
Think about all the players who've come through Portland and who had career years, and they left Portland and they just kind of wafted out of the NBA like a sullen fart. Is that because of Terry Stotts? Is it because of Damian Lillard? That's the thing. So really the value proposition here is, are you willing to sacrifice your depth and your future to have the absolute most powerful 1-2 combo that Dame could probably ask for? And yeah, the reason why Anthony Davis is available at this price is because of everything you just said. It is because of the injuries. It is because of the inconsistency. But that's what, if Anthony Davis played consistently, never got injured, you couldn't get him for this. That's the point, right? All of these are imperfect. So you don't like this trade though. I can see it on your face.
I'm anti Anthony Davis. I'm out on him.
Okay. You're out. And I think most of Blazers Nation would agree with you. You ready to move on to trade number three?
Yes.
Siakam it to me, baby. This one, Portland gets Toronto's Pascal Siakam, and the Raptors get number three and Anfernee Simons, Nas Little, and Keon Johnson. This adds $6 million to the Blazers cap. ESPN says it adds 12 wins. The reason's pretty simple. Portland gets an elite wing, a true second option, and Toronto gets to pick a direction, building around Scottie Barnes and kind of thinning out their wing lineup. So you'd have Dame, Shaedon Sharpe, Pascal Siakam, Jeremy Grant, Nurkic, and then a mid-level player, Tyrese Redick, Watford Walker. What do you think of this trade? You're putting it all in all the chips. Number three and Simons is going in. No future first. I think you like that. And you're getting
that is a massive overpay for Pascal. And one thing from a Raptors beat writer
Toronto
from The Athletic.
Fans would disagree.
I'm sure Toronto fans would disagree, but this is coming from Eric Corrin, who's a Raptors beat writer. He was approached about somebody or from a Detroit writer who was trying to make sales on them with the fifth pick. And I'll just take what his response was without clarifying like what Detroit was looking for. But he had said that is certainly the type of trade the Raptors would be looking at if they indeed wanted to move Siakam. The problems are twofold. First, even if the Raptors like Wiseman, they are set at center. Assuming they bring back Jakob Poeltl, which I expect they will, and with Christian Koloko as his backup. Secondly, the Pistons fell to five. Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller would be the clean lottery fits for the Raptors. The Thompson twins, Cam Whitmore, Anthony Black, there's at least some overlap with Scottie Barnes and questions about their shooting, which the Raptors cannot really handle next to Barnes or Poeltl. In short, something like this is a possibility, but I think the Raptors are reaching out to Portland to engage first just for the third pick. Okay. So from a Raptors beat writer, I would say that ends up being a bit of an overpay. I understand, again, it's a thing about having to make money work, but if you want to make some money work here, if the Raptors want the third pick, even if they're set at center, I think that's where you kind of, hey, if you want this or want to sweeten the pot with this, you're going to have to swallow some bad money for us. And that's where the Nurk contract comes in. And so here's a trade along these lines where I kind of think it fits the bill for everybody else. And okay. ESPN puts it at a projected 11 wins for the Blazers.
Good.
But the Blazers are sending out Nasir Little and Keon Johnson to the Clippers and Anfernee Simons, Yusuf Nurkic, and the third pick to the Raptors and receiving back Pascal Siakam and Nicholas Batum.
Oh, what did the Clippers get in this?
Sorry. The Clippers are getting Nasir and Keon. And part of the reason on why the Clippers would do that, let me pull this. I had this little note about them back up here. So
yeah. Make the case for why
their cap situation. They're in absolute cap hell. And they're the ones that started it. They're $40 million over next year's projected cap line. And with their two stars being the part-time rules, players, they owe draft picks to the Thunder through 2026. Leonard and George become free agents after next season. The new CBA with that second apron, they're at it. They're going to be right there. Their only option with how deep they are into the weeds with their current tax situation is that if they want to re-sign Russell Westbrook, the most they can offer him is a vet minimum. Okay. So they're in that cap hell. So when you're looking at those friendly contracts of, you know, a Nasir Little and a Keon Johnson, you know, you can part with that $10 million from Batum. You know, I think they're shipping out, you know, $10 million for Batum, but only taking back, you know, that at the bare minimum of that range, 6.9. So every little bit of that cash helps. So you're kind of helping bail them out. And I also know a lot of people are sitting here as well going, well, hey, why are you getting back two power forwards? Well, we're also entering into a phase of positionless NBA. You know, Pascal Siakam, you know, in my mind, he's a little more of a three. You know, Nicholas Batum, I always remember him being a three. But I mean, the Clippers have shown that you can play as many power forwards as you want in, you know, whatever, especially when you're pairing all of this around a shorter point guard in Dame and a guy who's maybe not as up to par in defensive ability as Shaedon Sharpe. So I mean, that's my trade along those lines, and the money works on all accounts. So
I mean, I like that one more. It's never a bad thing to have useful wing depth. And also, come home, Nicholas Batum. I like that a lot. And by the way, Ryan, you said something that I don't think my trades accounted for as much. Another dynamic in all of these, you said it, the cap, the rule, the salary cap rules are changing. And without getting into details, teams that have very expensive rosters will be paying a dear price for that. It limits their flexibility with draft picks. It limits their flexibility with using exceptions. It does all sorts of stuff to really disincentivize teams from being too expensive. And because of that, if the Blazers are willing to be one of those teams that is a little bit more expensive, they could be the beneficiary of other teams trying to debulk and, you know, get some of the salary off their roster. And I think that that what you just showed is a really good example of how that may happen in practice. So I'd be all for it.
Yeah. And, you know, even in what I was talking about, like with where the Raptors sit at their center position, you know, maybe you end up getting a fourth team involved in this somehow, and they fill another position of need. But basically, like, it's that number three in Simons going to Toronto. But, you know, either a fourth team is involved and tossing something to somebody else, you know, for that Yusuf Nurkic contract. But, you know. And then too, I mean, that does free up that does put the Blazers in the position where they still need to go out and find a quality starting center. But, you know, they have a lot more options available to them with their, you know, order of operations and cap stuff that we'll talk later about in free agency.
Yeah. And you know how I feel about Nurkic. I feel like they may be
you don't want
off.
Him to leave. You don't want him to leave. I know it'll break your heart.
Better off with a less talented but more consistent center. I think that's they really need that badly. Anyway, all right, moving on. We got 13 minutes. This one is called the unrealistic one. And by the way, it's funny how, like, I think the Celtics and the Heat play in about 2 hours. So we'll see if
Hour
Celtics can. Can pull it out again.
I hope to God not, because I am getting a sweet payday if the Heat finally win this. I took a flyer. I parlayed the Nuggets and Heat to both win their conference finals, and I did that in game 3 of round 1.
Oh, that's going to be a pretty penny for you.
Yeah, so I got
how much do you put on that, or you don't have to say if you don't want to?
I threw 50 bucks down on plus 2200.
Okay, let's
and
go.
Then I, all right, and so, then I slightly doubled down tonight on taking the Heat money line plus a Jimmy Butler plus or 20 plus points parlay. So that'd be like another $100. But yes, so drinks on me if the Heat, they'll close it out eventually, but I'm tired of waiting on this.
Let's go, Jimmy Butler. All right, this one is pretty simple. It's another very top heavy trade. It's going to be Portland trading with the Boston Celtics for our favorite, not quite malcontent, but possibly doesn't want to be there anymore, sub-superstar. It's for Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics would get the number 3 pick, Anthony Simons, Nas Little, and 3 future firsts. This adds $2 million to the Blazers cap. It's pretty obvious why Portland does it. They get an A-plus star, someone who is in their mid-20s. They will have to pay him, but, you know, Jaylen Brown maybe doesn't want to be in Boston anymore. This only adds 4 wins, according to ESPN, but I'm not sure I believe that. And you're left with Dame, Shaden Sharp, Nas Little, Jeremy. Wait, where did that?
I was going to see if you noticed it. If you pulled the exact Anthony Davis lineup, I was like, wow, we're trading all that for Brown. He's not even cracking the rotation.
That's very funny. I obviously did a copy paste and didn't change it. It'd be Dame, Sharp, Jaylen Brown, Jeremy Grant, Nurk, and then the MLE player, Tybal Reddish, Watford, Walker.
Yeah.
We have 11 minutes. What do you think about this trade?
I cannot wrap my mind around any trade that involves the Blazers, the number 3 pick, Anthony Simons, and the Boston Celtics, because I do not understand why the Boston Celtics would do this. The Boston Celtics are in a championship window. They're in a win now mode, and they are closer to winning than the Blazers are. So I don't get what
the two best players and they can't crack the ceiling. They changed the coach. They can't crack the ceiling. Jaylen Brown's made rumblings and he like went to the press a couple months ago about like, well, if maybe if they don't want me to be there, dot, dot, dot. So like, I don't
think talking about the city being racist. I don't
think it's unreasonable to suggest that he kind of maybe doesn't really want to be there.
I buy that there's probably some fire with the smoke of that he doesn't want to be there. I just don't see how Portland is
any better offers from other teams for Jaylen Brown.
Yes. Better offers with more fitting players on their timeline. Boston in that case would be searching for the exact same thing that Portland is searching for.
That's fair. But like, I want to pinpoint this really quick for Blazers fans specifically. Ryan, what you're saying is that Boston isn't getting what they need when they're getting the third pick, which may be the number one pick in a different draft, Anthony Simons, who's on a good contract, he's only 23 years old, and three future firsts, and Nas Little. And what you're saying is Boston doesn't want to do that. So I think that that's a reasonable take. What I'm trying to say is like, we need to temper our expectations for what the Blazers can do and who they can get. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And this is a prime example of that. Just because the trade machine says something's possible doesn't mean that it's possible, because Boston would have zero interest. Boston would have zero interest in Scoot in this because they're not on a developmental timeline. So the number three pick, while the number three pick is appealing and it, you know, you can say that, hey, future generational talent, here's the kind of player that, you know, Scoot is going to be. Scoot does not make sense for anything that Boston is currently doing.
We haven't seen very many super high picks who are good get traded shortly after they're drafted. Like that doesn't happen very often, but again, look at the reason I gave for this trade was dot, dot, dot. Well, dot, dot, dot. Jaylen Brown doesn't want to be there anymore, I guess. The point was that, yeah, like, I'm not sure how realistic this is.
And so, also that's as Portland fans with Dame, we've been on the opposite side of those dot, dot, dots. Well, maybe Dame doesn't want to be there anymore. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's a pie in the sky. Now, this is the kind of trade that I think that you would throw in a couple future firsts for. Maybe not, you know, if you're giving up Simons Little number three, I mean, maybe you're looking at like two future firsts. I don't think Boston is that pick poor. I think that could get it done.
You'd have to do it to get them even kind of interested.
But I think that depends what the market would be on how many other future firsts other teams are throwing in. And again, you know, to reference back to that excellent Hollinger piece, I don't think a lot of teams that would be seeking Brown services are going to be driving up the market that far.
A thought, though, that the Blazers, if they're going all in with Dame, their future firsts are disproportionately valuable because they're not going to be as good later. So they're, and I think teams would know that. So just, you know. Okay, two more trades. This one's called Let Me Sell You a Bridge Is. And we have two trades in this one. It's Portland trading with Brooklyn. They get Mikal Bridges in exchange for the number three pick, Nurkic, and two future firsts. The second trade is a straight up swap with Atlanta. Portland gets John Collins and Atlanta gets Anthony Simons. It adds $5.7 million to the Blazers cap. ESPN says plus zero wins. I don't know about that. But why they do this, Portland gets a wing to play with Dame and someone who Dame wants to play with. Brooklyn gets a premium pick and more draft capital because they're pick poor, like you said. And Atlanta gets positive value for someone who doesn't want to be there. Again, there have been rumblings about John Collins for 1,000 years. So you have Dame, Sharp, Mikal Bridges, Jeremy Grant, John Collins, then mid-level player, blah, 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 blah. What do you think about this trade or this series?
This one I like because I think this firmly falls into the category of nobody's happy afterwards. Everyone thinks it's
Blazers
a bad trade.
Would be pissed. They'd be pissed.
Blazers fans would think that this is an overpay for Bridges Absolutely. And Collins. Brooklyn fans are like, are you shitting me? We gave them away for nothing. I think Atlanta is the only one sitting on the sidelines going, yeah, we're good with that. Now, the idea of Atlanta fixing their problems by having a roster with Trae Young and Anthony Simons, that is just a younger version of Dame and Ant.
I think would trade Trae Young, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's got its own rumblings.
Which they probably should consider also.
Yeah. you know, maybe they can get a hair clip for a men membership. Oh, anyways. Ooh, but no, this
you
is
have no room to talk. How dare you?
As a bald man, I have all the room to talk. I am the only one that is allowed to make hair jokes. But yeah, so this is one of those trades where it's, you know, Atlanta's sitting there, especially if they trade Trae Young, you know, this opens it up for him. This starts a process for him where I think they'd be like, yeah, okay. But I think Portland fan and Brooklyn fan here are both feeling a little fleeced. So this is the kind of deal where if the number three and Ant go out in any sort of Mikal Bridges trade, something else of value needs to come back. If Brooklyn's not going to give up Claxton in a deal like that, which all word out there is they're holding on to him even tighter than they are, you know, Bridges. So get another team involved and get something of need like you do here with John Collins.
The problem, obviously, is that John Collins isn't really a center, but I will say this, you know, John Collins is 25. He has 3 years left at $26 million per year. That's a decent contract. It's not bad, right? And with Mikal Bridges, 26 years old, his contract's even better because he's a better player, but 3 years at $23 million per year. So part of this is that, yeah, it's a jumbled fit for Portland, but they're getting players. If you needed to trade them later, you absolutely could. That's the thing about this trade, I think, is it does give the Blazers that you're losing flexibility in some respects because of the future first going out, but you're also getting players who were pre-prime on good contracts. So at positions of need around the NBA. So one more trade, Ryan, you got 4 minutes to do this. I call this one, it's the last one. I call it six starters.
I had to Google half these names and I still don't know who half these people are.
Okay, well, here's what we're doing. We're going with Toronto. Portland is getting OG Anunoby and Malachi Flynn for salary purposes mostly. Toronto is getting Anthony Simons and a future first. So essentially, just think of that as Simons and a first for OG. The second trade, Portland is trading with the Orlando Magic. Portland's getting Franz Wagner and Bol Bol. Yes!
And bring Orlando's back to Oregon.
Orlando would get the number three pick, Nas Little and Keon Johnson. Blazers save $2 million. ESPN says zero wins. Portland, they get a defensive wing and a young but ready to contribute scoring big in Franz Wagner, who's a lot better than I think most people know. No one watches Orlando Magic play. Franz Wagner's really good. And they get Bol Bol, who I think is super interesting. Toronto thins out their wing rotation and Orlando gets the third pick and some filler. Ryan, what do you think about this trade?
This strikes me as a victim syndrome kind of thing from, you know, previous attempted trades of the past where Toronto has talked up OG Anunoby's value, where I don't know. It seems like an overpay for OG, but at this point in time, I don't know. I mean,
he's 25 years old. He's
the market he's allegedly for him last trade deadline. The market for him allegedly last trade deadline was four firsts. So
that's
I don't know.
Ridiculous. It's just, and they're not getting that right. And so this trade, they're getting Simons in a future first for, again, he's young. He's young on a good contract. That's part of it too. Same thing. Franz Wagner is 21. He's 21. He's making $6 million a year. Wow. Yeah. Like, so he's on a rookie scale contract, but like, I mean, my problem with this trade is, does it really make the Blazers all that much better? I think some of this is hinging that OG Anunoby would develop a little bit more and that Franz Wagner would take a step. Because Franz Wagner, if you watch him play, this dude, he could take the Lauri Markkanen and jump and become like a legit all-star. And I think if you have that plus OG, plus Dame, plus Sharp, plus Jeremy Grant, then you're cooking with gas, I think. But you're expecting some development.
Yeah. I mean, this, I like it, but I agree. I don't know if it moves the needle. That it strikes me as being just a hair better than rearranging the deck chairs. Like maybe you've got nice cushions for the deck chairs now.
I would say though, like, look, if you have, it's Dame, Sharp, Anunoby, Jeremy Grant, Nurk, and Franz Wagner, I call the trade six starters. Cause you have six starting level players on your team now. And yeah, the end of your bench is pretty thin, but that's not nothing. And again, like, you're expecting some development. Ryan, we have 1 minute left. What do you got to say about all this? What is your thought? What's your last thought?
Well, I think everybody needs to, you know, calm their tits a little bit with their trade machine ideas. I've seen some crazy stuff. There was the one that got thrown out today where I don't know, Portland gave up everything but the kitchen sink and somehow only got back Pascal Siakam in the 13th pick. And yeah, it's just, it's weird. And then you got, you know, you're hearing, you know, oh, the third pick isn't enough to fully move the needle. But then you got Brian Windhorst going on Get Up today. And he's saying the Dallas Mavericks have grand plans this offseason to make a major splash to try to keep Kyrie and add to what's going on around Luka. And they're going to make some major moves using the number 10 pick. So great. The number 10 pick is now suddenly
of a disconnect there.
The number 10 pick can make a major splash, but the number 3 pick is no, we need more. Yeah, come on. It is what it is. But I cannot wait for the draft to come about. Portland is probably, you know, we're going to have to deal until draft night. We probably won't find out. I'm sure Cronin's got 19 different scenarios based off what Charlotte does and what teams want and need. And God bless us all and help us for this final month.
How do you feel, just one more quick thing, how do you feel listening to these trades? Does it make you more or less optimistic that Joe Cronin can make something happen?
I think he can make something happen. And a lot of it comes from what I'm reading and listening to from, again, like I said, you know, trying to get to the beat writers of these other teams. And it's a lot of, they need to reach out to Portland. And it's not a lot of Portland needs, you know, of the vice of like Cronin needs to make all these calls. I'm sure Cronin's sitting back doing his due diligence, but his phone is ringing more than he's having to press buttons. So,
which is not a bad position to be in. Going through these trades made me a little more optimistic because I didn't have a good sense of how the salaries would balance until I did this. And it shows me that there are options. Like, this is not a case where Portland is stuck if they don't want to be. And I think that's a good thing. Any last words?
Nope. That's all okay. I got. I like that. I kind of brought you a little bit around when with my tweak on your Raptors trade, bringing Batum back home, which, by the way, Batum autographed a pregame slipper right there. So
I do think something to watch, the dynamic, the meta, if you will, of the NBA trade season will be this new collective bargaining agreement will affect things, and it could advantage Portland if they're willing to spend money. I do think it could be a good thing. Another good thing is if you follow us at welikethablazers.com, you can also follow us at Like the Blazers on Twitter. You can find me at GoldenerPDX. You can find Ryan at The Witty Ryan. That's about it for now. Appreciate you all. And until next time, go Blazers.
Go Blazers.
Boom.